chapter 1 and reading the whole of the first chapter. Nehemiah's prayer. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. I was a cupbearer to the king.'" We give thanks for this reading from God's word. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that your word and your spirit would fill our lives today. Give us a fresh passion for worship and to reach every person with your good news through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our theme is rebuilding in a time of crisis, looking at Nehemiah chapter 1. And on the slide, you can see there that the temple is in ruins. And that's the story that was brought back to Nehemiah. Well, today, joining a church can be quite an experience. But maybe it wasn't quite like the experience at Johnny's house. Johnny was outside, and Johnny's mother looked out of the window and noticed him playing church with the cat. The cat was sitting quietly, and he was preaching to it. She smiled and went back away from the window to her work, and a little later, she heard a loud meowing and a hissing and ran to the open window to see Johnny baptizing the cat in a tub of water. She called out, "Johnny, stop that. The cat's afraid of water." Johnny looked up at her and said, "He should have thought of that before he joined my church." Joining a place of worship, returning to a place of worship, is a whole new experience. We're all socially distanced here. At the moment, the balcony's closed. Everyone's wearing masks. We come in one door, we go out the other, and the church wardens show us to our seats and show us out again. And so it's very different. We have 50 to 60 people here this morning, whereas we'd usually be expecting around 250 or that sort of number. And yet it is so important that we have a passion for worship. King David was thinking about worship, and he said in Psalm 132 about his determination to keep going and to be a worshiper. He said, "I will not enter my house or go to bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the Mighty One of Jacob." That's how important worship was to him. That's how important it was to the people of Israel. It's how important it was to Nehemiah. And so what would the perfect church service look like? Well, C.S. Lewis put it like this. The perfect church service would be one we were almost unaware of. Our attention would have been on God. And so often we think that it's about the form of worship, or it's about the songs or the hymns we sing, or even the place we meet. But a service of worship should primarily be about us meeting with God, and that should really be the whole vista that we're looking out on, that we are here to meet with God, that we're online to meet with God, that we're making every effort, just as David did, to meet with God and making that a priority. And today we begin this new series of talks on the book of Nehemiah. And at that time, the Israelites had been in exile. And Nehemiah tells the story of some of the remnant of God's people returning to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and to rebuild the temple. At the beginning of the book, Nehemiah is in the city of Susa. Now, Susa was 900 miles from Jerusalem. Think how far that is. I don't think even Cork is 900 miles from here. So it's a long, long way away. He's working as a cupbearer to the king. It's an important and responsible job, as it was common for kings to be poisoned by their enemies. It also placed him as a companion and a confidant to the king, which would turn out to be important. And Nehemiah then gets a report of what is going on in Jerusalem and what's happening with the people there. We read, "They said to me, 'Things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire.' When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned and fasted and prayed to the God of heaven." Verses 3 to 4. This is a crisis. Things are not going well. They are in trouble and disgrace. So in this time of crisis, how does Nehemiah respond? He responds from his heart and from his soul with weeping and with sorrow, with fasting and with praying. And how are we responding in this time of crisis, in a time of pandemic with all its repercussions? Maybe some of the questions we should be asking are these. What is it that causes us to respond deeply from our gut and our heart and our emotions? What is it that causes us to sacrifice something so as we can achieve the more important things? So sacrifice like fasting and giving time to prayer. And what is it that will cause us to turn to God again, to make time for Him and for serious prayer? These are important questions. And if we are not responding like Nehemiah from our heart, then if not now, then when will we respond deeply to God in prayer for his people and for the redemption of the lost? As Nehemiah wept bucket loads, as he mourned deeply the fallen and disgraceful state of the remnant of God's people, of their neglect of true worship from the heart, let our prayer be for God to stir up our wills, as that well-known collect puts it, stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they, plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works, may of thee be plenteously rewarded through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And that is a prayer that we are stirred up, body and heart and soul and mind. It's not just a reminder to make the Christmas cake. And if we look at a more recent song, it captures a similar theme, asking God to stir a passion in our hearts. Stir a passion in our hearts, Lord. God, let it overflow. Let it overflow. Let it rise. Holy fire, burn inside. Let it rise. Let it rise. All for Jesus. Being stirred up in our wills and hearts means, first of all, that we need to have a passion for prayer. Now, prayer is sometimes thought of as something that we do in secret, and there is a place for that. But actually, prayer is not primarily an activity apart from the world and from everyday life, because we see that as Nehemiah prayed to have a passion for the people and for the restoration of the honor that was due to God, it then led him to take action. And the questions we need to ask ourselves are, what is the passion that God is laying on my heart today? What is it that we are seeing or hearing that causes us to fall on our knees before God? And these are serious and important questions that we all need to be addressing, because if not now, when will we address them? If you haven't discovered those things yet, waste no time. Look at the crisis that is around you. See the needs of the masses who lack direction, purpose, hope, and peace, who are lost without a guide, a shepherd, or a savior. And what's worse is the fact that many of them don't know how to find a way in the lostness of the world as we deal with a global crisis. And too often we have to admit, we have to confess that Christians stand back and go, isn't the world a terrible place? Isn't it awful what's happening out there? Isn't it in a mess? If only they'd come to Jesus, everything would be okay. But this isn't what Nehemiah did. Instead, he turned to God to pray, and his prayer is powerful and it is incisive. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps the covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. It is such a powerful prayer because, firstly, he recognizes who God is, how great and awesome, and how he keeps his covenant of love with those who love him, how he is attentive to those who turn to him in prayer. And then, secondly, he confesses the sins that Nehemiah and his family and the people of God have committed against the Lord. And verse 7 goes on to say, we have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. And what Nehemiah is doing here is he's identifying so closely with the people that he takes on their sin and repents of it before God. Now, Nehemiah is actually himself in a good place. And in the world today, there are some people who are in a good place. There are others who are struggling. But Nehemiah was in a pretty good place as a cupbearer to the king. He's been doing very well for himself. The easy route in life is open to him. But he feels so passionately for God's people and the terrible state of God's city that he instead confesses how he, his family, and the people have failed to obey. And this is not just something that's happened on this day or this week or this year. This goes back many generations. But Nehemiah personally repents, takes responsibility, and then he sets out to remedy what has been wrong over that long period of time. And so after prayer, he saw the need that secondly, that he needed a plan to implement. In the place of prayer, we should be expectant that God will give a plan on how to move forward. And then we need to implement and keep going in fulfilling his plan to rebuild, to honor, and to grow God's kingdom. As Danielle mentioned at the start, we're going away as a staff with our ordained local minister in training, our interns, the rest of our staff team to spend some time together and to think about this coming year and how we can best minister both here in the cathedral and in our new church in South Lisburn, what sort of form that's going to take, even when we don't have a building and a place to meet, how we can engage with community both in that area and through all that we're doing here. And already this morning you've heard of some of the ways that our children's ministry and our youth ministry are looking at how they can engage. Our cameo group have been engaging in lots of different ways over the past months with our senior citizens, and that's been so important. And Nehemiah continues to pray and to plead for the presence and the anointing of the Spirit on those who return to the Lord and obey his commands. He also asks God for success and favor from King Artaxerxes as he returns to serve as his cupbearer. And at the start of this new term, like no other before, this morning we are booked to capacity here in the cathedral. There's even some people in the coffee room. But that's only 50 to 60 people. Our children's and youth meetings aren't resuming in the usual way. However, the leaders of our organizations are working on new ways to teach and to share God's love and grace. And so I urge you at the start of this new term, when so much is different from other years, I urge you, do the out of the normal. Find new ways to meet and to engage with others. And there may be difficulties. It may mean that you've never been online and you've got to go online. Well, please do that and get engaged with others. It may mean that you have to meet outside. Buy a new coat, meet outside. It may mean that you have to deliver some things to people and leave it on their doorstep. Well, let's do that. Let's engage and let's find ways to meet. In the church, more than ever before, we need every one of you, every member of the church, to begin rebuilding, even when numerically we are exiled from worshiping together in the normal way. Nehemiah prayed, he had a plan, and he kept going despite the odds being stacked against him. And the third thing that is needed is perseverance. Perseverance is required. We'll see in the coming talks how Nehemiah receives favor from King Artaxerxes, how his detailed plan is used to rebuild the city, and how the gracious hand of God was upon his life and upon the lives of those who honored God. But all this took perseverance. It required him to be honest. It required him to be prayerful and inventive before King Artaxerxes, to discover a route to rebuilding the temple and worship and the people of God. And in the same way that Nehemiah had to embrace new ways and to find a route and a plan to rebuild and to reach out, we have to do the same, to embrace new ways, to find a new route and a plan to rebuild, and to reach out to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ that is the hope of the world today, tomorrow, and forevermore. It is the hope of the world for every life. And in the midst of this crisis, let's listen to these powerful and assuring words of Scripture from Romans 8 and verses 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord reigns, and we are to worship him. Our service should be to engage with Christ, to let everything else fade into the background, and to know that love of God in Jesus Christ flooding our lives and giving us a new passion for his name and his kingdom. God is loving and true and faithful, and we need to stir ourselves from the fog of lockdown to being stirred in our hearts to having a passion to build his kingdom, to press on towards the goal, as Philippians 3 and 13 to 14 says. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We are to press on towards the goal. So let me close with a plan and with three important things to do to make our way out of a crisis, a way to begin to rebuild. First of all, commit yourself to worship and to prayer. And we are going to be looking at ways that we can increase capacity here safely. But even if we can't, I want to urge you, book in now. Every Sunday this month can be booked for right now. So go online and get booked in if it is safe and advisable for you to do so. If you have health problems or underlying conditions, please continue to worship at home. But if it does mean worshiping at home, I'd love to see us a bit of a change. You know, over the summer, our worship was early. We were out doing stuff. And so we had people in church. We had some people online. And we had a massive number on catch-up. I would love you, if you can, join us at 11 o'clock on a Sunday. If you can't, well then, go on catch-up later on Sunday. And if all else fails, we'll then do catch up during the week. But I'd love us to be together, that we are worshiping together, whether at home or physically together here in church. So if you can, put it in your diary, 11 o'clock Sunday morning. I'll be online. I'll be in the cathedral if I've booked in and I've got my mask and all of that sort of stuff. So let's make worship and prayer a priority. And just think about how Nehemiah went about prayer, how it came from the heart, how he fasted, how he made it a priority, how it spilled over into every part of his life and his actions. So worship and prayer, priority number one. Let God be first. And secondly, as has already been mentioned, despite everything that we do, the main way for people to meet is going to be in home groups. So join a home group. If you've never joined one before, well then please do get in touch with the people that Danielle mentioned, Bill and Karen, Danielle, or myself. My email is sam.wright@lisburncathedral.org. Just go and email me now. I will get you a home group because I want you to be engaging with each other around the Word of God. But I also want you to be meeting together. And the main way to do that is going to be on home groups. In a sense, you know, the big meeting has disguised the importance of the smaller ones, of being able to get 200 or 300 people in here. But it's always been important to meet in home groups. But it's actually amplified and magnified now. If you've never been in a home group, please join one now and get in touch with me and we will get you one. And thirdly, build each other up. There's all sorts of things that are going on and all sorts of problems in the world, but let's bring that encouraging word, the Word of God, that God is the same, that He loves us so much that He sent His Son who died on the cross, reaching out His arms of love to the whole world, reaching out His arms of love to welcome people into the fellowship of believers worldwide and locally. Build each other up. Bring the encouraging word. Learn from Nehemiah this week. See his passion for prayer, his passion for worship, his passion for the people to come back to God and to rebuild the city and rebuild the temple as the central point of worship. And as we build each other up, may God, by His Spirit, do a new work in the church and amongst His people today. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, would You stir a mighty passion in our hearts, that we would be given fresh vision for sharing Your good news and for rebuilding Your church to honor You, God. And we pray that all who come to worship You, online, in person, in home groups, may encounter Jesus and in Him find hope, love, and faith to live by, now and for all eternity. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.